Gene mentioned about our meeting coming up next Sunday with Brother Shane Carrington. I've known Shane for a number of years, and I believe he'll bring us some real good lessons. And let's give him a good hearing beginning next Lord's Day when he'll be here. He'll not only teach the class, he'll be in the pulpit for both of the services. And let's give him a good Christian welcome beginning next Sunday morning when our meeting begins and continues through Wednesday night. And invite your friends and neighbors also to come and hear him proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want to mention that on Wednesday night, I've heard many good things about Doug's lesson on Wednesday night. I was gone. Maxine and I had gone over into Arkansas to visit a little bit at Hot Springs and also at Conway. Doug did a fine job, I understand. I've heard several people say that, and we appreciate Doug doing that on Wednesday night, and that we got brethren who can teach a good lesson when the preacher is gone. Also among our visitors, Brother Leroy White's wife is with us today. We're always glad to have her in our audience, along with Wesley and his wife and the other people who were mentioned who are visiting with us in the service today. I've been speaking to you for some time on the parables of Jesus in John 10. I tell you what, they are loaded with spiritual meat if you'll just delve into those three parables. A parable is, well, it's a physical story with a spiritual meaning, sort of a prolonged metaphor. And Jesus gives three in John 10, and they all have to do with sheep and shepherds. You know, the people in Palestine during the days of Jesus were very familiar with raising sheep. They knew about the porter, they knew about the sheepfolds, they knew about the sheep, they knew about the shepherd. They understood all that. And so Jesus decided to give us three parables here in John 10 on it, three different ones. And in the first one, he says he's the shepherd of the sheep. And he enters in by the door, and he says the thief and the robber climbs up some other way and enters in. He's talking about the false Christ and false teachers. And then number two, he said, I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man will enter, he'll have life. You've got to enter in by the door. That is, in that second one, you've got to enter in through Christ in order to be saved. And then in this last one, he says he's the good shepherd. Instead of saying that he's just a shepherd, he uses the adjective good. He said, I'm the good shepherd. And in this parable, he stresses the fact that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And if there's anything that I pointed out in these three parables, and I think they all teach the same thing, is that the sheep here are people who have the right attitude before they become a Christian rather than the people who are Christians. In other words, prerequisite of becoming a Christian. And you know, that is very important because only people who have that attitude will become Christians. Therefore, only those people are sheep. And I believe I can prove that by the context. Because over and over, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and then they follow me. You see, they haven't followed him until they're sheep. Therefore, they haven't become Christians unless they're sheep. They're sheep before they become a Christian, and that has to do with the right attitude before a person becomes a child of God. And I said there are three prerequisites, and I'm going to stand by that, and I'm going to give them to you again. Number one is IQ. We call it intelligent quotient. You know, people differ in intelligence, as you very well know, at least measured by man's standard. And the Bible teaches that a person has to have sufficient intelligence before he's amenable to the law of God. Babies are safe. People who are known as idiots or imbeciles, who are not capable of understanding the gospel, they don't have to be baptized. They're safe, S-A-F-E, which means not liable to danger. And the Bible teaches that. Therefore, they're not sheep because they don't need to be sheep. The sheep are people who have sufficient intelligence to know right from wrong and to be amenable to the law of God. A man asked me one time, a boy came up to be baptized who was somewhat retarded. And a brother walked up to me and said, Brother Hoagland, do you think he knows enough to understand the gospel that he's amenable to the law of God? I said, I'm not going to take any chances. God will have to judge that. There is a borderline. There is a borderline where someone may not be intellectually responsible before God. But I'm not going to try to judge that. And if someone comes up and wants to be baptized, I'm going to baptize them, and I'll let God be the judge about whether they had to be baptized or not. But my point is to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think you'd argue with me about this. I think you understand this, that the only people who are amenable to the law of God are the people who are responsible mentally. And others are safe. They're going to go to heaven because they're safe. You're going to go to heaven because you've obeyed the gospel and lived the Christian life. But they're going to go to heaven because they're safe. You see what I'm talking about? Therefore, number one, to be a sheep, you have to have sufficient accuracy. Number two, you have to be honest. And I tell you, in Luke, the 8th chapter, Jesus said the seed of the kingdom is the word of God, and the seed has to fall into the honest and good heart before it will produce. Therefore, before you will become a Christian, you've got to be honest. Someone says, well, preacher, how do I know whether I'm honest? And well, I want to tell you, I'm going to give you an example, if I may, to try to help you. When I talk about honesty, if you're honest in dealing with the Word of God, when you learn the truth, and I haven't got to that point yet, but that's the third point. I'm going to get to it in just a moment. When you learn the truth, if you're honest, you'll obey the gospel. You'll obey that truth, even if it violates father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, or anyone else. Hell and high water can't keep you from obeying the truth, if you're honest. But if you're dishonest, you may let relatives keep you out, even though you know the truth. Some folks do. Yes, they do. I know they do. They've even told me. So you've got the IQ, that to be a sheep. We're talking about sheep. To be a sheep, you've got to have sufficient intelligence. Number two, you've got to be honest. Number three, you've got to study the Word of God and learn what to do to be saved. And I guarantee you, I'm going to give you a guarantee from the pulpit. You show me a person who has sufficient IQ, number one, that's axiomatic. Number two is he's an honest person, and he has studied and he knows the truth. I'll show you a person that will obey the truth. They're going to be baptized. They're going to be born again. Now, there are some people who have sufficient knowledge, but they're not honest. They know the truth, but they're not honest enough to accept it. And then there's honest people who don't know enough to obey the truth. They're honest, but they just don't know the truth. I'm going to give you a couple examples. You take the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I was exceedingly zealous toward the tradition of my fathers. In other words, I thought my fathers were leading me in the right direction by clinging on to the old law of Moses. But he said, I learned the truth. On the Damascus Road, when Ananias came to me, I learned that I wasn't under the prohibitions and inhibitions of the old law, and so I rose and I was baptized. I accepted the truth. Why did you do that, Paul? Paul was an honest man. Paul didn't say, now, my mom and daddy didn't bring me up this way, and so Ananias, I'm not going to do what you say. Now, you tell me to rise and be baptized and wash away my sins. My daddy and mama didn't do that, and so you're not going to get me to do it. That's dishonesty. Now you understand what I mean by honesty. Lydia is another case. Lydia was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. She's a good businesswoman, and she was meeting and worshiping under the old law down by the riverside in a prayer meeting service in Acts 16. Paul went down there and taught Lydia the truth, and the Lord opened her heart. And because she was an honest woman, she and all her household were baptized that very day. That's honesty. Someone says, but did that work on everybody? The answer is no. Paul did not convert everybody he taught. I can show you that in Acts of the Apostles. Many times because they weren't honest. If they'd have been honest and then they learned the truth, they would have obeyed it. But if they're dishonest, they're not going to obey it. Therefore, who are these sheep that Jesus talks about? He says, the sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. He's talking about people who have sufficient intelligence, who are honest, and who have studied the Word enough to know what it says. Now, if you go back to the personal ministry of Christ, he's talking about himself as the Messiah, and the people studied the Old Testament scriptures, and they knew that Jesus was a fulfillment. But he says the thieves and robbers, the false Christ, they climb up some other way. They're a stranger, and the sheep do not follow the stranger. Well, why didn't the sheep follow the stranger, the false Christ? Because they were honest and they knew their law. They knew the Word of God. They knew the fulfillment of Scripture, and that these false Christs did not fulfill the Old Testament Scripture. But they knew that Jesus did, and he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Who are his sheep? Let's go over it one more time. They are people who have sufficient intelligence, who are honest, and have studied the Word enough to know what it says. You mark that down in your book. That's the truth. And in Boonville, Mississippi, the sheep represent people who are sufficiently intelligent, they're honest, and they have studied the Word of God to know what it says. They know what the gospel plan of salvation is. Now, you can buy that. That's what the Bible teaches. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. They'll not follow a stranger." Now, in this one, he says, the good shepherd, and I'm reading from verse 11, the good shepherd, he says, giveth his life for his sheep. I believe that. This is talking about the ignominious death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus gave his life. Ignominious means a shameful death. Jesus had to die a disgraceful death. Crucifixion was a horrendous atrocity. The Romans didn't even want to talk about crucifixion. It was so bad. And yet that's the death that my Lord had to die for my sins. And he said, I died on the cross for my sheep. And we've already found out who the sheep are. Someone says, but wait a minute, preacher. Just hold on a minute. Didn't Jesus die for infidels, for agnostics, and for skeptics, and for profligates, and for immoral people, and all the people that are bad? Didn't he die for them too? Yes, in a secondary sense, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. They have to become sheep before they'll ever be saved. Now you hear me. An infidel can give up his infidelity. I've known of some infidels that have given it up, and they become sheep. You have to go through the door of the sheephood in order to be saved. You know, we sing a song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Did you ever hear that song? "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Well, the way of the sheep leads home. You can't become saved until you become a sheep. Now, you may not be a sheep, but you can change your mind. An infidel or an ungodly man or a dishonest man can become honest. Do you see the point I'm trying to make to you? Is that before you're saved, you have to become a sheep. I'm not saying that an infidel can't change. I'm not saying that a sinner can't give up his sins. I'm not saying that a dishonest man can't become honest, because he can. But when he does, he becomes a sheep. And the sheep follow him. The sheep hear him. The sheep are the ones who will not follow a stranger. Now, of course, today what that means is, if you're a sheep, a false teacher can't lead you off with false doctrine, because you know too much about the Bible, and you know when he's preaching the truth and when he's preaching false doctrine, because you're a sheep. You know the Word of God. And that's why you'll not follow a false teacher. But if you don't know the Word of God, you can be led off. And he talks about the hireling. The hireling is the false teacher. And he says, when the predator comes, the wolf comes, the hireling leaves the sheep. Well, I'll just read it to you. Let me just read it to you, what he says about a hireling. You know who a hireling is? Well, a hireling in this context is a false Christ who really is not the Messiah. He's not willing to give his life for the sheep like Jesus. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. But let's read the text. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd. See, he's a hireling. He's not the real shepherd. He's a false Christ, false teacher. He says, whose own the sheep are not. You see, he uses the positive and negative. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Well, the truth about the matter is, what Jesus is saying, if these sheep did follow that man, they would be scattered. But he says a little later on, they'll not follow him in the first place. But he's saying, if they did follow this hireling, if they did, then they're going to be scattered by the wolf, who is the predator. And he says the hireling will not stay with him, but he flees. Well, he mentions three verbs here, I believe. He says the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He puts up a front that he cares for them. But when the wolf comes, he leaves. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and when that wolf comes, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll fight him till I die. I'll die for the sheep. In Palestine, a good shepherd, if a wolf or a pack of wolves came into the sheep, that good shepherd would stay in there and fight for those sheep and give his life up. He won't run off. He fights for the sheep. They knew that. So Jesus compares himself to the good shepherd and not the hireling. And he said, I give my life. Of course, what he's talking about is he died on the cross for us. He gave his life that we might be saved. That is what the parable is really teaching. That Jesus died for us. He loved us. We're the sheep. We're honest. We've studied. And we'll follow him. Now, permit me to read on down in the text. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows who's honest. The Lord knows if you're honest. The Lord knows if you have studied the Word of God and if you have knowledge of it. And the Lord knows whether you're amenable to the law of God. And he says, and am known of mine. So he gives two different points here. He says, not only do I know my sheep, but my sheep know me. It's reciprocal. It works both ways. He said, I know my sheep. And when Jesus looks down from heaven, he knows whether you're honest or dishonest religiously. He knows that. He knows his sheep. And he says, they know me. Well, Lord, how do they know you? They know me because they've studied the Bible. They study the Word of God. You can't fool them. They're too knowledgeable. They're too knowledgeable. They know too much. And since they know, they're not going to follow a hireling. They're not going to follow a stranger. They're not going to follow this man that climbeth up the wall some other way, as he said. And he's talking about the same thing. It's false teachers. Now he says here, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and are known of mine. And he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring in, and they shall hear my voice. Now, who is he talking about? Talking about Gentiles. Lord, what do you mean? He said, I've got some honest, studying people among the Gentiles. They're honest and they have learned the truth, and they're going to obey the gospel. They're going to be born again. They're sheep, you see. Then they're going to follow me. You see the point? This good attitude is what he stresses in all three of these parables. You can't deny that if you study it. That's all he's talking about, is a good attitude, the right attitude before you become a Christian. Because if you don't have the right attitude, you're not going to become a Christian. You're going to follow false teaching. You're going to follow a false preacher. But if you have a good attitude and you study the Word of God and you really know the Bible, then you're a sheep and you're going to follow Jesus. You're going to follow the truth. You see how simple that is? Someone says, well, wait a minute, preacher. During the personal ministry of Jesus, did all the Jews follow him? No, because he says they weren't his sheep. They weren't his sheep. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, I'd like to drop on down in the same chapter to another verse down here. He says, tell us plainly if you're the Son of God. But down in verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who is it that follows you, Lord? It's the sheep. Now, they're not Christian. You're not Christian until you follow Jesus. You're not saved until you follow Jesus. But, Lord, who are these sheep? I've already told you who they are. There are people who have searched the Scripture. You see, over in John 5, which we studied earlier, Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." What Scriptures is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. Well, Lord, what are you saying? I am saying that the prophets in the Old Testament set their telescopic sights upon me and pointed to me as the Son of God, as the real Savior, as the Good Shepherd. Not to harlings, not to strangers, not to false Christs, but they pointed to me. And he says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote of me. That's what he said in John 5. Moses wrote of whom? He wrote of Jesus. He didn't write of a false Christ. But he says, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But if another comes in his own name, he says, you'll follow him. That's what he said in John 5. Isn't that unfortunate? Isn't it sad that people will follow a false Christ and a false doctrine rather than the Word of God? Isn't that sad? And yet, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. I can prove it by John 5. Jesus says, you won't follow me, but you'll follow a false teacher. He was talking about the Jews as a whole. And they did. They crucified him. They didn't follow Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus. Well, they said maybe they thought he was too narrow-minded or something of that kind. Well, regardless of what they thought, he was the true Messiah. You know, you got to forget your prejudice. And when you want to know where the truth is, when you want to know where the true church is, you've got to forget all of that and study the Word of God. Now, today, we don't have to try to figure out who the Messiah is. We know that now. They didn't back then. They had to find him. But most people in America know that Jesus is the Son of God. But we have another problem. He established a church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. So Jesus has a church. Someone says, but I can't find it, preacher. We have 1,200 and I'm lost. Yes, you can. You can. Someone says, but how? Study the Word of God. Search the Scriptures daily. Find a church that's scriptural in name, in faith, in organization, in doctrine, in practice, and teaches the right plan of salvation, and you found it. Presto. You have found it. Someone says, is that the way they found the true Christ? Exactly. They found the true Christ by studying the Bible, the Old Testament. You find the true church by studying the New Testament. What the New Testament church practiced, which was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And you emulate what they did in apostolic times in regard to the Lord's Supper, to the music in the church, to singing, which they did. Nine times it says they sang. They sang praises to God. And in regard to the giving of their means, 1 Corinthians 16, as we have done this morning, give as we have been prospered upon the first day of the week, not grudgingly nor in necessity. Paul said, for God loveth the cheerful giver, and that's what the New Testament church practiced, and that's what we practice right here at West Moonville. We sing praises to God. We teach His Word. We observe the Lord's Supper, just like they did in Acts 27 upon the first day of the week. We have the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, which is exactly what Matthew 26 teaches. Now, how are you going to fuss about that? We believe in doing it as the Bible says it, as the Word of God says. And as we studied in our class this morning, the apostles, when they wrote down to settle that problem in Antioch, they said, we gave no such commandment as those boys are teaching down there, those Judaizing teachers saying you've got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. The apostles said, we didn't give that commandment. So the question is, did the apostles give the commandment that we're obeying in the churches today? If he didn't, then it's an innovation. It's man-made. It's not found in the Word of God. You've got to find it in the New Testament. And that's what these parables are teaching. It's trying to separate the sincere from the superficial. It's separating Jesus from the false Christ. It's separating a true preacher from a false preacher. And a true teacher from a false teacher. That's all it's doing. But the only way that you can differentiate and separate is by a knowledge of the Word of God yourself. And when you study the Word of God for yourself, then you're able to know. Of course, you've got to be honest, as I said. And then you know. You know, I have taught many a class in my life, and when someone speaks up in that class, I can pretty well tell whether they're knowledgeable in the Bible. You just know it. You can tell by their vernacular that they have studied the Word of God. They know the book. They're not going on superstition or tradition. They know their Bible, and I like that. I've said that old sister so-and-so, one thing you got to say about her, she knows that Bible. Sister so-and-so has studied the Bible, and you can tell in a class that she knows the book, or brother so-and-so, he knows the book. But how did he learn the book? By studying. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You've got to search, you've got to study, and then you come to a knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, when you come to a knowledge of the truth, then you're qualified to obey. And of course, that is the thing that we emphasize and stress upon humanity today. Now, what we have here in this parable, and I'm going to close my lesson in just a few minutes here, is that we have Jesus in this parabolic teaching, teaching us that the sheep are people who have the right attitude, they are honest, they have sufficient IQ, and they've studied and they're knowledgeable. And he says, when you have that, they'll follow me. But he says, the hireling can scatter anyone else. And they will. I hope you're a sheep today. And if you are, you're going to become a Christian. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come and be baptized into Christ. Rise to walk in the newness of life, as the Bible says, Romans 6:3-4. And that new life is the Christian life, believing and repenting and confessing of your sins and being baptized, which you must in order to be saved. And then you arise. You're a newborn babe in Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're added to the church, if you please, in Acts the 2nd chapter. And let me tell you, if you'll serve God the rest of your life, heaven will be your home, because you were a sheep and you followed Jesus. We hope if you're today, you'll fall and you'll come. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?